We're barbecuing, and I think I was actually on the grill flipping ribs or chicken or something. And my brother's girlfriend at the time, she just goes to screaming and yelling, "You just got picked, you just got picked."
But I think one thing will always be constant is work ethic, energy, enthusiasm. That stuff's never going away. So if you bring that all the time, plus you're talented, you're going to have a chance to have a great career.
Yo, what's going on, Vikings fans? Welcome to episode number 89 of the Minnesota Vikings podcast. We are getting very, very close to this year's NFL draft. We are just 1 week away from today, so I am very excited. We're talking all things draft on this episode of the show. And with that, we have a bunch of Vikings legends to come on and talk about their draft memories. It's Vikings legends Robert Smith, Chuck Foreman, Chad Greenway, Kevin Williams, and of course, our very own Pete Bursich of the Vikings Entertainment Network leading the conversation. So that will be Vikings draft memories taking up a majority of this show. But before we get to that, I'm going to bring in Vikings.com's team reporter Eric Smith along with producer Jay Nelson. What is going on, guys? How excited are we to have this draft coming up? Eric, I mean, it's just a week away. And me and you, we Slack, we message all the time about our pro football focused mock drafts, because at number 14, I think you trade like every single time. Is that what you do?
I mean, I do. I do. It's exciting. I mean, it's exciting. We're a week away. Like, there's nothing like the draft. You guys both know that. There's nothing like the draft every offseason. I call it like the pinnacle of the offseason, but also the biggest spectacle of the offseason. It's just such an important event that can really make or break teams, not for this year, but for the future as well. And yeah, Corso and I have been going back and forth with our PFF mock drafts, like just in the weeds and maybe playing out different scenarios of how it can go. I mean, I do trade back a lot. I think that could be a possibility for the Vikings at 14, but I'm probably too into it. Like, I'll go out at night and I'll walk my dog around the block, and when I circle the block, I'm doing a quick 3-round mock draft. My wife is annoyed, but I'm way into it, and I'm excited for Thursday.
We'll have to share that every single pick that we make in our pro football focused mock drafts has absolutely zero to do with what the Vikings front office wants to do at pick number 14. So just because Eric trades number 14 every single time, it has nothing to do with what Rick Spielman is thinking heading into draft night. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking for a crazy flashy wide receiver at number 14, which is probably not what Rick is looking for. So you don't have to worry about that when we're talking about what we're doing on our pro football focused mock draft. So with that, we're going to get into a mock draft from last year to start out this show from Good Morning Football's Peter Schrager. He's done many good pieces of content for the Vikings Entertainment Network, but we have to bring him up, and Jay put him on the outline here because why, Jay? He literally nailed the Vikings' first and second round pick in last year's mock draft.
That's correct. Yeah. So when I went through and I was looking at some of the kind of postmortem on last year's draft and just seeing, there was an article that was done on Vikings.com that really listed who everybody thought was going to nail these picks. And when I saw Peter Schrager's, it jumped off the paper to me because he put his first round pick. We were going to take Justin Jefferson at wide receiver, and our second round pick was going to be Ezra Cleveland. Like, he nailed both of those picks, and it really made me smile. I'm like, man, you know, I think way to nail that one, Peter. And part of it too was Eric's piece that he did even at the end of the season, talking to some of the different reporters about why they thought Justin Jefferson was going to be the guy, or even why they didn't think that he was going to be the guy. But Eric, when you did that piece, that really sparked this thought for me. And when I saw that article, it really hit. So for me, when Peter nailed it like this, I just thought, like, yeah, let's take a look at what he did and what he said and why, and then what's he looking at this year?
That's impressive that he nailed it, because it's easy to guess the first three picks, like especially this year, it's easy to guess the top two, right? We all know it's likely going to be Lawrence and Wilson with the top two, but the further down you get, the more of a crapshoot it becomes, and the chances of hitting it right are less and less. So yeah, mad props to Peter Schrager for getting both those picks right. I cannot do that, so I have to give him plenty of credit.
It's unbelievable. I mean, to nail literally the wide receiver that we got, who we didn't think would fall to that pick. And then the tackle, obviously, we had another first-round pick in a cornerback, but it's just amazing what he was able to do. So with that, we bring you the Mock Draft 2.0 from this year that Peter Schrager put together. He has us taking a pass rusher, which I think, Eric, makes Mike Zimmer pretty happy.
It would. And you look at how the Vikings have approached free agency. It's been very heavy on defense. And that wasn't really a big surprise given how the defense played in 2020. We obviously know that we're getting some guys back due to injury or opt out, you know, and that trio is Michael Pierce, Danielle Hunter, and Anthony Barr, who I think played two quarters all season. But, you know, we also went heavy in free agency. We signed Mackenzie Alexander and Patrick Peterson and Dalvin Tomlinson, big names. But even so, it's not like the defense is set and that the Vikings don't need any help on that side of the ball. Defensive end is still in need, and that position has been heavily mocked by experts across the league. And Jalen Phillips is a big name who's been penciled in there at 14 by a bunch of people. I could see that being the pick if the Vikings feel like they still need to address their defense and a bunch of offensive players go early. Phillips could be one of the first defensive ends off. He could be one of the first defensive players off in general, just like the first defensive player selected overall, because it's such a top heavy offensive draft. And yeah, Phillips is an option at 14. Kwity Paye is another name that's been thrown around there at 14, but if the Vikings do go defensive end, it won't be a surprise to me.
Yeah, so it's Jalen Phillips, pass rusher, edge rusher out of the University of Miami, one of the best edge rushers in the country. And Peter Schrager says the Vikings have a bunch of their best pass rushers returning from injury, but that doesn't mean that they won't take another in the top 15. I think Phillips could be the guy and the first pass rusher off the board when it's all said and done. Jay has shared a YouTube video of his highlights, which I actually have a best friend that went to the University of Miami, so I watched just about every single one of their games this year, and that guy is an absolute, I mean, when he is on the field and when he is healthy, I know he has had some injury concerns at his time with the Hurricanes, but man, Jay, this guy, I mean, he stands out on when you're watching the game, because you can just see he's bigger than everybody.
Well, and it wasn't even that to me, like, yeah, he's long and he's quick and he's strong. But what really jumped out to me on it, just even watching the highlight tape that I saw there, he gets across the line so dang quick, but then his pursuit is bananas, because even if he's out, blocked out of a play or something like that, what you see is him. Do you remember like the Jared Allen when he was on this team for us? Jared, the play would go to the other side of the line just to avoid Jared wrecking a play. And then you would see the pursuit angles, or you would see the cutbacks that would happen, and you'd see him grabbing guys from behind, or even the line for Miami or the linebackers would approach off the opposite side and force the running back to him. And when that happens, it's lights out. Like every time he was even remotely close to a ball carrier. And yes, I know it's a highlight tape, but in those moments, the pursuit was amazing. The ability to get off of a block was amazing. And he's just, it seems so instinctive to him. And it was a man playing amongst boys. And it was just super, super impressive to see. And I think we've talked about it now for well over a month. You've seen his name popping up here as an option coming to the Vikings. And I think if he were to work within this Vikings defensive line group and how they like to do some of the rotations and everything, if you can keep a guy like that, who's that talented, fresh, man, he can do some serious damage in a game.
Yeah, I agree. And we had Vikings co-defensive coordinator and assistant head coach now, Andre Patterson, on the Vikings Vantage. That'll be on KFan on Thursday night. We'll talk about that later in the show. But anytime I think and even look at any prospects as an edge rusher, I'm listening to what Andre Patterson has to say. And what he said was literally, he doesn't care how many sacks you had. He doesn't care what you look like on tape. He's looking at the raw physical ability that some of these players have and if they will buy into what he can make them into. Best example, Danielle Hunter, obviously didn't have that many sacks at LSU, becomes one of the top pass rushers in NFL history under the tutelage of Andre Patterson. Looking at a guy like Jalen Phillips, 6'5 and a half, 260 pounds, an arm length of 33.25. I mean, he has all the raw physical tools that someone like Andre Patterson is looking for, I would say, to say the least. I mean, that is a mammoth of a man, and he's a young man who literally is obviously raw and can use a guy like Andre Patterson, Eric.
Yeah, and that's kind of the model or the formula that the Vikings have taken over the last few years. And you know, I've been reading up on a lot of prospects and all that, and it's tough to compare guys to Daniil because I think he's such a special case. Even if they look like him in terms of height and weight and they didn't have production, it's very rare that they turn into someone like Daniil who gets, you know, 50 sacks and is the quickest player in NFL history to get 50 sacks. You know, I think that's like the ultimate. And sure, while that's why we want this player to eventually become, it's tough for them to do that. But they certainly have the potential to be a good player. Like Daniil is a great player. But there's no reason why Phillips or anyone else at the Vikings draft, you know, whether it's a defensive end at 14 or 78 or 90, if they have the tools, yes, then Andre Patterson is a master of working with those tools and getting them better and making them a productive NFL player down the line.
The thing that Andre said was, he's like, I've had success all over this draft. I've had success with the Daniil Hunter in the third round. I've had success with players later on in drafts. So it doesn't have to be number 14 to go edge rusher. And that's where a lot of Vikings fans will jump in and say, hey, go get an offensive guard or an offensive tackle. Well, Peter Schrager has the top or probably the second best tackle, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. I mean, he's going to pick number 13, so he would be going right before us. Sewell out of Oregon, who we've talked about on the show as well, he has him going earlier in the draft as well. So those are the top two offensive linemen in this year's draft, Jay. I mean, one can only think that Vikings fans are dying for the team to take one of those two guys with the top pick at number 14.
Yeah, I think the biggest question mark with this draft so far, and we've already seen some movement happen, is what's going to happen on draft night? Because there's been talk already about Atlanta at number 4, possibly wanting to trade out. They're fielding questions. I heard some national guys talking this morning, and they were basically saying, you know, look at that number 5 pick as well. And they said, if all of a sudden you see number 5 get traded as well, and something unconventional happens, like some position player, a top tier wide receiver gets sniped at number 4 or number 5, you could see some teams possibly trading up and almost doing a little bit of panic buying in order to grab some of those other wide receivers. And if that happens, that only helps us because that pushes some of these other top tier players that we're looking at in different positions further back into that 14 range. And, you know, even here with Schrager, like you said, he had Slater going at 13, but sitting at 15, he had the Eagles grabbing Elijah Vera Tucker. And then at 16, he had Detroit grabbing Christian Darrisaw. Now, these are all guys that we've talked about for the last month being on our potential radar. So if that happens, or if something even crazier happens, you could have one of these top pedigree guys that we've wanted and been coveting, at least publicly, you know, the fans and the experts and everybody saying that this is what we would want, falling into our lap. And that would even potentially be, if you had a bunch of guys like this is where you could see us trading down too. So it's going to be some fireworks on draft night. And, just like last year, it got a little nutty and things switched around and Justin Jefferson fell in our lap. So we get to kind of sit and play the waiting game a little bit here too and see what happens on draft night. So this is why everybody loves it. This is why Eric's excited. It's why Corso's excited. It's why I'm excited. These are always super fun to watch and just see the chaos happen.
And Eric, you've been here for years. You've seen what Rick Spielman does when it comes to trading on draft night. When the Vikings don't have a second round pick, I mean, one can only assume that they're either going to use their first round pick to get a second round pick by maybe moving back, or also maybe using one of those other 9 or so picks to move up and get a second round pick.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see which direction they go, because either is possible. I mean, they could take 14 and move down a few spots and pick up a second rounder in the process. Or like you said, we have 2 third rounders. And that's 78 and 90. But then we have 4 fourth-round picks. I think it's 119, 125, 134, and 143. Like, you could package those and move up, maybe not into the second round. It's tough to take those and move into the second, but, you know, you could package maybe a third and a fourth or two thirds and, you know, whatever the value number equate to with another team to get to move up. And we saw Rick move back a lot last year. So maybe this is the year where he takes those, seven picks in the first four rounds and moves up a little bit and ends up with more quality instead of quantity. I mean, last year we saw 15 picks. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do think that they want a second-round pick, but that doesn't mean they're going to get it. You know, it kind of depends on how things shake out. And I wanted to go back a minute to what Jay said about, you know, the players that were kind of in that ballpark area around where the Vikings were. They took Jalen Phillips and Peter Schrager's mock draft, you know, the players in that area who have been linked to us. I have a story coming out. I think it's going to be posted on Vikings.com the day before the draft. And it's why the Vikings are in a good spot at 14. And you wouldn't normally think that because that's kind of no man's land. And that's actually the phrase that Charles Davis of NFL Network used when I asked him about pick 14. He's like, well, no one wants to be picking at 14. You know, teams want to be picking late in the round because it means you had a good year, or you want to be picking high because you can get the player that you want. But no matter what happens before, like, I think there's going to be a good player there for the Vikings at 14. And kind of what Jay touched on, it, if five quarterbacks go early, if three receivers, we know that Kyle Pitts will probably be gone, you know, Sewell, and perhaps Slater's gone. Two cornerbacks could go, a linebacker. That's 13 guys already, and that still leaves Christian Darrisaw, that leaves Vera Tucker, that leaves the top edge rusher, that still leaves a good linebacker if that's what the Vikings want to do. But if things get crazy, what if there's a quarterback there at 14? What if there's a good cornerback there at 14? What if there's a receiver at 14? You know, so the Vikings are going to have plenty of options of what to do at 14. And I can't tell you what they're going to do because we have to see how the first 13 picks shake out. But even though they're at 14 and we went 7-9, they're actually in a really good spot to draft a really good player a week from tonight.
I mean, it's a crazy year, Eric. Like, if you look at what a guy like Peter Schrager has, he has three quarterbacks going in the first three picks in Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones. That takes up three spots where the Vikings probably wouldn't want any of those players. Then he's got Kyle Pitts going at number four, tight end. We're pretty locked up with Irv Smith Jr. And then you start to look at the skill players of the wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell out of Oregon, offensive tackle. And then you still haven't had Justin Fields be drafted yet, which he has fallen to number eight to the Carolina Panthers. So Trey Lance with the next pick at number nine to the Denver Broncos. So like you said, there's whether it's a skill player that the Vikings want, whether it's an offensive lineman, defensive edge rusher, I think the Vikings are going to have their pick, just like Eric said. And it's a really good point because there's so many good players in this draft. I don't know if it's a draft where it's as top heavy. I mean, obviously you have the Trevor Lawrence in this draft. He's the one that everybody wants, but there are a lot of good wide receivers. There's a lot of good skill players and a lot of good offensive linemen in that first round. So very exciting time for Rick Spielman and the Vikings. Eric, you got something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to add, you know, a lot of people, including myself, believe that the five quarterbacks are going to go early on, you know, top 10, top 13. But if they don't, and there is a quarterback sitting there at 14, whether it's Jones or Fields or Lance, you know, I think the Vikings have two options. One, you take a long, hard look at that quarterback because how often do you have a chance to get a first-round quarterback who's probably a top 10 talent but maybe didn't get drafted in the top 10? But then kind of circling back to what we talked about earlier, that's when you have a good chance to trade back because teams like Washington at 19 or Chicago at 20 or Pittsburgh at 24, they need quarterbacks for the future. So that's how you would potentially get your second round pick is you are in a position to get a quarterback and teams think, oh, well, Kirk's under contract for two seasons, but maybe they're looking long term. We got to jump in front of them. We got to get their pick. And let's say it's Chicago, right? Then you then you drop down to 20, you pick up 52 and maybe another pick in the process. Understanding that, yeah, the Bears are probably going to get their quarterback, but there's obviously no guarantee that drafting a first-round quarterback means that he's going to be an all-pro or a pro bowler. The Bears know that. The Vikings know that. Every NFL team has had probably experience with that. So that's an option, too. You know, if a quarterback is there at 14, the Vikings could take them or use that special opportunity to trade back and pick up more picks.
I really appreciate the perspective from you, Eric, because you've talked to so many different insiders around the league from a national level to a local level. You've been working on stuff for Vikings.com from a written perspective, covering the mock madness and all of the mock drafts that are happening this time of year. So just going down the list, Jay actually has four more mock drafts who also predicted Justin Jefferson in their last year's mock drafts. So Bucky Brooks, who is a very, very smart football X's and O's mind at the NFL Network, he has the Vikings going with Quiddy Pay, the defensive edge rusher out of Michigan. That is a name that we've heard a lot. Chad Reuter out of NFL.com. We've heard from him. We covered one of his articles in last week's show. He has us going with the Christian Darrisaw offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech. Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports has us also going with Quiddy Pay out of Michigan. And Josh Edwards from CBS Sports has us going with Jalen Phillips out of the University of Miami. So it's just insane that some of the, like, these guys all nailed the picks last year. They all have some of the same names this year, whether it's the defensive edge rusher or the offensive lineman, Jay. I mean,
everything starts at the line. That's how many times have you heard coaches say that? And we all,
I'm in that mood today, Jay. We had Andre Patterson. We talked to him for another show. I'm all about the line right now.
But that's the thing, is that, you know, we saw what happened last year when we didn't get a good pass rush and how much that affected the secondary on the defensive side. We also saw, you know, Kirk having to make some throws in distress, trying to make something happen on offense. And the public has been clamoring for that position for many years at this point. And so either one of those, as you've heard people say, if you can go to either side of the ball on that, that is going to be something that's going to be beneficial no matter what. So like Eric just outlined too, if it gets to the point where you can move back and some of these guys are still available, given craziness that's been happening on the front end of the draft, that's just a double A plus for you, and that you can pick up some more high quality picks and still get the kind of guy that you're looking for. So all these people are going to be right in that wheelhouse. So we'll see what happens here when these last mock drafts come out in the next 6 days. And then the official draft happens starting a week from today. So it's going to be fun, and just keep your eyes peeled and do as much reading as you can. And let's see who gets it right. I almost feel like we should have like a mini trophy and send it off to some of these guys just to say kudos for nailing it.
And I think, kind of adding on to that, Jay, some of these guys could nail the pick. I don't want to keep talking in circles here, but they could nail the pick. Like with Quiddy Pay, he could be the Vikings first round pick at 19 or 20. Like, though, I know they're picking him at 14 here, but with the way, from everything I've read and studied, like, there's a chance that the first edge rusher isn't off the board until the late teens, if not 20 or below. And so if the Vikings do move back, they could still get an edge rusher, the same guy that could have gotten at 14. Maybe they get him at 19, 20, or 24, or, you know, whatever the number ends up being. And then you still get your second round pick that you recoup in that trade, at that potential trade. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, again, I said it again, I have a story coming out on Vikings.com about this on Wednesday, but the Vikings are really in a good spot. And I think that they're in a position to do really well on Thursday night.
We'll just have to wait and see. But until then, why don't we keep you guys busy with some of your favorite Vikings giving their draft memories? We all got to sit in on this. Eric was there. Jay was there as well. We had a whole crew from the Vikings Entertainment Network, and Pete Bursich led the conversation that we all were able to prepare for him. It was awesome. Chad Greenway, Kevin Williams, Robert Smith, Chuck Foreman. Eric, what was your biggest takeaway from this whole conversation, just before we let the fans take a listen?
Just the excitement that the guys had in being drafted. I mean, listening to their stories, you just feel excited for him all over again. Even if, you know, Chuck Foreman was drafted in 1973, and when he was retelling a story about his draft day, you're kind of there with him, but you're also, at least I was, like, very excited for him, because that's a lifelong dream for a lot of kids, and for them to get drafted, whether it's, you know, first round, you know, or seventh round. I mean, back in the day, there were 20 rounds, so it didn't matter what round you get drafted in. You know, it's an honor, and all the guys we talked to on this call were great. The other thing was, you know, we asked them about their welcome to the NFL moment, and a lot of them said, wow, like, I got to practice on my first day and realize everyone's good. And maybe in college, they were the best player on their team. But you take all those players across the country, the best or the top three players on every team, that's who makes it to the NFL. So you're not going to win with just pure athleticism or talent alone. It takes work. And I think every one of the guys that we talked to, all the legends, said you have to put in the work. And that just kind of struck me. I've heard that before, but just hearing it again, it really put things in perspective.
So with that, I am going to kick it over to Pete Bursich with Robert Smith, Chuck Foreman, Chad Greenway, and Kevin Williams to talk about their draft day memories.
Welcome to Vikings Draft Memories. I'm your host, Pete Bursich, drafted in the seventh round of the 1994 draft, 211 overall, in case anybody was wondering, which I'm sure you're not. However, I do have four guys with me who are Vikings legends who we all remember, and I'm just so glad that they're with us today. First of all, from Euclid, Ohio, first-round draft choice, Robert Smith. We also have Chad Greenway. And, Chad, you're from Mount Vernon, South Dakota, so I guess they can find film on guys out there, but you did go to Iowa, so that helps.
Yes.
Chuck Foreman from Frederick, Maryland. Chuck, great to have you. Thanks for being here. Thanks. And last but not least, Kevin Williams from Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Guys, you know, thanks for being here. And with the draft right around the corner for the Minnesota Vikings, I just want you guys to go back in time and talk a little bit about that day and what that day was like. And for Robert, we'll start with you. I know you came out a year early as a junior. Talk a little bit about that and what that day was like and when it was over, how you were heading to Minnesota.
Yeah, it was crazy. I ran track for Ohio State that spring, and we had the Penn Relays that weekend. So Friday and Saturday was in Philadelphia and flew back Saturday night a little bit early to get back to Columbus because I wanted to be there for the draft day. And I didn't want anybody over, didn't want anybody, family or anything like that. I was too nervous. I went to Bob Evans on Sunday morning with my roommates and couldn't eat. Had a couple bites of pancake, and then that's about it. But, you know, once the draft started, you know, I had heard that there were some teams around 14 to 16 that were thinking about drafting me. And those teams didn't end up drafting me. And so I started watching Ren and Stimpy. I turned the channel and started watching Ren and Stimpy. And, God, it must have been probably another hour or so. And then my agent thought it'd be funny if I was in the shower when I got drafted. So he called up and said, you know, if you're nervous, you know, sometimes it can relax you if you just jump in the shower. So he tried to get me to jump in the shower. That didn't work, but ended up getting the call from Denny. And Denny, in reference to a visit that I had made to Stanford when he was there 2 years previously, I was thinking of transferring from Ohio State to Stanford with Denny and his staff, but ended up not going out there. And of course, he ended up taking the job with the Vikings. But Denny was the first voice that I heard. And he said, you know, I let you get away once and I'm not going to let it happen again. So it was a really cool experience. And then Ty Willingham, who was a running back coach who I'd met already at Stanford, he started the de-recruiting and de-drafting process almost immediately. I remember him pulling up film from Michigan State, and he showed me some film. He's like, this is a nice game, but if you want to make it in the NFL, you got to do a better job following your blockers. If you had made this cut right here, and I know that Pete knows a lot about how meticulous Tyrone Willingham was. We joked about it quite a bit, but he said, if you had made this cut right here, you could have turned this into a 20-yard gain or a touchdown. So just kind of get digging into those finer points immediately. So it was really cool being up in Minnesota that first day, but then immediately realizing that there was a lot of work ahead.
Well, that's awesome. Now, Chad Greenway, now my story with you is you're after your junior year. I remember having a conversation with Scott Stugwell, and he was telling me about this linebacker from the University of Iowa who was only a junior. And sure enough, you know, 1 year later, the Minnesota Vikings end up taking you. So tell us what that was like. I know Stugwell, like, again, loved you as a player. So did you have any idea that the Vikings were going to take you? I guess talk through your day and talk through the experience itself.
Yeah, Stud was, he spent a lot of time in Iowa City. I can remember, you know, asking around like my sophomore year, who's this guy? You know, then you learn how legendary Stud is and like how unbelievable of a player he is. And then he's so unassuming other than when he takes his arms out and you're like, okay, this is a different dude. So I would say I saw Scott Studwell more, you know, than anybody else leading up to like, you know, throughout my college career. I decided to stay for my senior year and I'm played out and I knew the Vikings were going to be interested just solely on that. But so for my draft day, I was on the farm back in South Dakota. All my family and friends were around. I mean, you know, back then I think it was 15 minutes per pick. It seemed like an eternity to get through that day. And I was, I got picked 17th. So you had a little bit of a long wait that day. So you're just sitting around and you're waiting. And I knew from anywhere from basically 9 to the end of the first round is where I could go without much clarity on exactly who would take me. But I can remember my wife, we had just gotten married. No, I take it back. We were about to get married. We were about 2 months away from getting married. And we're sitting there and she's like, I just want to go anywhere north of Iowa City. And it's actually pretty, anywhere south of Iowa City, what am I talking about? And you know, you think about the NFL teams that are north of Iowa City, it's actually kind of hard to go north of Iowa City in the NFL. The 16th pick came up and went, and that was the Dolphins. We missed Miami. And the next pick, and as soon as the pick goes live, I get a 952 number popping up. And at that point I had no idea what area code that was. And my marketing guy was familiar with Minnesota. He's like, oh, that's the Vikings. Here we go. I pick up and I want to say the first voice I heard was Chili, Brad Childress. But then it was Fran Foley real soon after that, who was part of my draft. But it was just I think like Robert said, it's just a whirlwind. It's a crazy day. It's like all this dream and work and everything you've done is kind of culminates in this one day. And the funny part is I get to go to our I get the call and it's on we're in the middle of the cornfield in South Dakota on my farm and I'm on my Trio cell phone and I get the call and the call drops. I mean, it couldn't be more appropriate for where I am. and I got to go get, and then they call the home phone because I was like the next phone number listed. And it's on the landline with like the curly cord, like pigtail cord coming from the wall. And I'm like, you know, I got that thing stretched 30 feet so I can get in front of the TV and get back to my easy boy. And it was just, it was an incredible day. Go to our small town gymnasium. It's filled with the entire community just supporting me. Was awesome. And then we flew up to Minnesota. And much like you guys, or like Robert said, is it wasn't as quick as Coach Willingham was, but Coach Pugich was the next morning. It was show up at 8 a.m. and we're writing the playbook. And once I started playing the cover two scheme, you know, and kind of understood it, I'm like, why the hell do I have to start this so soon? This is really easy. It didn't take this long to learn. So whirlwind day, absolute blessing. And I walk in and get to meet, you know, Ticket and the boys after that. It was pretty sweet.
Now, Chuck, take us back to 1973 and let us know what your draft day experience was like. I'm assuming it's a little different than the kids today.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Definitely. But for me, anyway, my experience being down at the University of Miami, living south of Miami, I had some friends come down from Maryland and some friends from Miami. And we just had a little get together at my apartment. And I think for me, the experience for me and the ability to be drafted was, of course, coming out of the University of Miami, I played three positions. I played running back, wide receiver, and corner. When I came out being the number one draft choice, unlike today, most guys are specialty. specialize in one position. For me, I went to the All-Star games and was MVP in every one of them. And then I had a real big day at the Senior Bowl. And that's when, you know, everybody was saying being a running back might be your best way to go. And so when the draft day came, I had no clue which way it was going to be. And we certainly didn't have the TV. We didn't have all that kind of stuff. I don't know if there was a phone in the house. You didn't have a cell phone, any of that kind of stuff. So it was a little bit different. For me, I think it was a big thing because I was just on the phone with like Jim Finks, who was here. And then at the time, my agent was a guy by the name of John Wooten. And so that's how we communicated. And then coming into the 12th round, you know, they called my name. And then a couple hours, Jim Finks calls me and sends me a ticket. And I fly to Minnesota. And they asked me what position I wanted to play. And that was what it was for me. So I could have played either, it didn't make a difference to me. So I just said, I'll try the running back position and start off there. And that's where it went. So, you know, you don't have a 12-player pick in the draft nowadays, and he gets to choose where he's going to play. You know, it didn't matter to me, but now guys specialize in one position. I don't know of anybody that does all three.
No, not anymore. Now, for Kevin, I have a little bit of a story, because at the time when Kevin was at the Senior Bowl, I was an assistant D-line coach, and I was hanging out with Mr. George O'Leary. And George O'Leary, Kevin, is the guy who really identified you, went to bat for you. I remember you had a tremendous Senior Bowl coming out of Oklahoma State University. And I remember draft day for you, and you have to give it a little bit of background, because the year before we drafted Bryant McKinney, and there were some issues with us getting the name up there. So we basically were leapfrogged. And then we got the name in for Bryant McKinney. The following year, however, we knew we wanted Kevin Williams, but we figured we could trade the pick down a couple levels and everything would go just fine. So we actually let the clock expire, just like Dallas had done the year before. And that was when Mike Tice got booed. So you might have been, unfortunately for you, when you were drafted, it wasn't about you. It was kind of about how that process went. Did you get any of that kind of feeling? And what was your draft day like? Because I'm sure it was a little bit crazy in that respect.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. I was going to be like, I remember getting booed. So, okay.
It wasn't you getting booed. It was the fact that it was 2 years in a row that we couldn't get our pick in on time. The first year, yeah, that was on us. But the year that you were drafted, it was intentional. They were trying, they knew that you were going to be there, but, he couldn't get a trade to go through. So we just did what Dallas had done the year before. But for the fans, all they know is 2 years in a row, you can't get a damn name in on time, right? And so they're going to boo Mike. They boo you. They boo everybody. I went home. My kids booed me. Everybody, but it turned out okay. We got the right guy.
Yeah, it turned out okay. I think they wanted Terrell Suggs, though. I mean, I was – yeah. I don't know. It kind of felt like the leftovers, but that's all right. on my draft day, man, all the family was over. We was out barbecuing in the yard, had a big TV on the porch, and letting the draft go. I was expected to go from 12 on up. Like you said you guys are trying to trade back. I was expected to be around 12. Hadn't talked to Minnesota once. Talked to every team under the sun. Minnesota was nowhere on the radar. I had no idea. Didn't know anything about Minnesota. But anyway, we're barbecuing, and I think I was actually on the grill flipping ribs or chicken or something. And the 7th pick comes up. It's Minnesota. They don't pick, so I'm not paying attention. So whoever it was, I think whoever the next two teams was, actually rush in, get their pick in. Minnesota still didn't pick. So, nobody's paying much attention. We're just trying to keep up with what position or what pick it was. So I think it gets to number 9. And And they picked me. They didn't call me. I hadn't heard from them. I hadn't heard anything. My brother's girlfriend at the time, she just goes screaming and yelling, "You just got picked. You just got picked." I mean, okay. I'm looking at the TV kind of shocked, really. I mean, like, you know, you always hear, they're going to call you first. So I'm like, okay. So the house phone rings. It's Mike Tice. We just picked you. We want to get you up here. So I'm excited, panicking, all these things at one time. You know, you getting drafted, one of your lifelong dreams, and I just totally disregard the barbecue and the cookout. I'm like, being from country Arkansas, I should have known that I could have left the next day and did the same thing I did. So I rushed to Little Rock, which is like an hour and a half away, try to get a flight, get to Minnesota. It's like 11 o'clock at night. So what are we going to do at 11 o'clock? Nothing. I could have just got up early and left the next day and got there that morning and did the same thing. I mean, it was a whirlwind from the time they picked me to getting to Minnesota, doing all the interviews, and I don't know, it was a blur after that, kind of.
So going back to you, Robert, what was when did you know? I mean, what was your welcome to the NFL moment?
The welcome to the NFL moment? Sitting in my first mini camp meeting next to Roger Craig. You know, somebody that I had grown up watching, and, you know, obviously all the draft stuff was cool and, you know, was very exciting and memorable, but sitting next to Roger in a meeting, to me, I mean, it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal because, you know, at his position and, you know, with all the Super Bowls and, you know, the Bill Walsh era up there, I mean, it was unbelievable to me that I was sitting next to him. I mean, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is really cool. And I'm like, okay, well, I still gotta beat you out. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool that we're on the same team and sitting in the same meeting room. But I'm like, he's another guy that I gotta beat on the roster. But when, you know, just kind of being there that first time, and then going through stretch and seeing Randall McDaniel actually beat Roger Craig from one field to the other when Stevie called us over from one field to the other. That was also a welcome to the NFL moment when guys that are, you know, 285, 290 pounds run like guys that are running backs and wide receivers.
All right, Chad, how about you?
Yeah, I think my the initial press conference, when you come in the next day, I was blown away by the questions, right? It quickly turns into a business when you're protected, and, you know, I'm at Iowa City, and you get the softballs from the media because they're not going to ask anything hard hitting to a college kid, and all of a sudden you get drafted in the first round. It's like, you know, how soon can you help this defense win? How much better can you make this team? How much of an impact are you going to make? And it's like, man, I don't know how to answer any of these questions. I just want to work really hard and try to get on the field. But I think the one thing I noticed right away was when we went right to our full team mini camp, I was blown away at just how good everybody was in general. Like, I don't have a welcome to the NFL, like, pow, I get smacked. I remember Anthony Herrera caught me he was pulling in training camp my first time and just absolutely licked me clean, just absolutely depleted me. But it was more so the general ability of, like, I realized real early that if I don't bring the goods every day, with energy, effort, the stuff that I could control, I was not going to have much of a chance because everybody was so good. And you talk about Randall winning a sprint. I mean, you see guys like Ticket. I mean, you see these guys are just freaks of nature, athletically so gifted. And you just like, how am I going to make this thing work? And you just find your way one day at a time.
All right, Chuck.
Oh, for me, I guess coming from the College All-Star game, Chicago was back then, we used to, the College All-Stars used to play the Super Bowl champ. They don't do that anymore, obviously, but then I came up here for my first practice. I drove up from Chicago, went to practice, and then it hit me when I got in the huddle. Okay, because there was Brandon Tarkenton.
Wow.
On the offensive side, there was John Gilliam, and then there was a bunch of guys that went on the deep. Then I looked across. And there was the front four, the purple people eater. All the guys that 2 years earlier, I was watching them on TV. you know, and but that was a moment when I said, wow, you know, I definitely got to bring my best game to be able to compete with these guys. And then I got my first baptism when we played the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's a guy named Buck Buchanan, who's probably, anyway, that was my first big hit. And then I looked up and I was like, man, that did hurt a little bit more than I'm used to. And then he picked me up by the collar, man, and just said, welcome to the NFL. That was the way it went. I was baptized twice and I had two great experiences, but those are the ones that I remember.
Kevin, how about you?
I think it really, really set in that I'm playing at the top level was like a preseason game. I had to go against Willie Rolfe. And I mean, I tried everything I could to get around him. And I ain't got around him yet. I mean, it's like he was just holding me with one hand and just taking me where I wanted to go. I mean, it was kind of a first early preseason game or something. And I mean, I couldn't do anything against him. And I'm like, all right, fella, you're on the big stage now. You got to bring it every day. And you just really got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to realize these guys are professional, grown men. They've been doing it for a while, and they're called the best for a reason. And another instance, I think Matt Burke and maybe Dave Dixon, they baptized me pretty good in training camp. We was doing a live pass rush or might have been a third down drill or something. They throw me in at nose tackle. And I bet they ping-pong me pretty good. Now, the nose tackle, being green and not knowing the rush one guy and all this stuff. I mean, it was a learning experience. But I appreciate all those lessons and those all those things really helped.
Yeah, I know for me, sitting in – it was second day of my rookie mini camp, sitting in meetings. So it's, you know, 9:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and looking over to my left – because we were as a defensive unit and just seeing John Randall sitting there, not even listening, but just he wouldn't stop moving. He kept rubbing his face. He was swatting at flies and he was just sweating. And he did that for 2 hours. And I just remember sitting there looking at him going, I don't belong here. This is insanity. I mean, you know, it's just a crazy, it was, yeah, definitely. Definitely an experience being around Johnny. So, Robert, put yourself in the position of Rick Spielman and tell me what you think the Vikings ought to do on draft day.
Well, you know, it's interesting looking at this draft, something that I hadn't really thought of. I hear people talking about the draft, and this is something you're familiar with. You know, what first round grades people have versus what people talk about who's going to get taken in the first round. And the fact that people aren't they're not always sold on the prospects that are there. So we've seen so many moves, especially kind of filling out a defense that had some holes for various reasons, whether it's injuries or opt out with like Pierce and things like that last year. And they've made some of those moves to kind of fill some of those holes. So if there isn't a trade to get more picks. Because they're not sold that a guy necessarily has a first round grade and what's left over there. Maybe they try and get more picks, and we know they had so many picks last year. But I think offensive line is what I had heard. I think a lot of people have heard that there may be some needs, but I wouldn't be surprised because we've seen it from Rick so many times that he does try some sort of trade at that point, because I'm hearing that there's this lack of really elite first round talent that maybe somebody at the end of that first round tries to move up to try and grab somebody at the Viking spot.
Must not be a lot of guys from Ohio State leaving for the draft this year then, huh? Is that the problem, Robert?
No, that's it. You know, they get paid more in Ohio State, right?
That's a good one. That's a good one. So, Chad, how about you?
Yeah, I've been following a little bit. You know, that spot is a good spot to pick. You can definitely get a starter there at 14. It'll be interesting to see what they do. As Robert said, they've kind of loaded up a little bit on defense. Shocker there with Zim, you know, and what he's trying to do. I got to believe if one of those high-end quarterbacks doesn't fall, I think quarterback could be an option there if it falls, if one of those top, five guys comes down there. if not, I think you got to go O-line, D-line. I mean, the way that you're locked in with Kirk, you need to keep him upright. You can see how much of an impact the offensive line makes. And quite honestly, I was just shocked at the lack of pass rush once the Neal went out. After that, you know, the cupboard was pretty bare at that point on as far as just getting quick, you know, pass rush of somebody in the quarterback space, and it really hurt that back end, especially being so young and inexperienced last year. So, yeah, I got to go lines, one of the lines, if not a QB falling down. But, you know, Zim might try to find a way to talk him into cornerback. Who knows?
All right, Chuck, any thoughts?
Well, I think they got a few things they need to address. I think offensive line is always, my opinion right now, for at least last few years, something we need to address. But if they, I don't see any really, really great offensive linemen. But I'm thinking from my perspective that at that point, first of all, Chad, I'm going to say anybody you draft in the first round is supposed to come in and play. I don't care if the first or the 31st or 32nd, whatever it is. That's my thing. But I think they grab the best guy on the board. If that offensive lineman, I mean, I think I've heard of one that's supposed to be really good, but I'm a believer in the best guy on the board. I mean, they can always use the help.
All right, Kevin.
Hey, I'm with Chad and Robert. I think we need a lineman either way, offense or defensive lineman. Like you said, Kirk's locked in. He needs to be protected, but the lack of pass rush was bad last year once the Neal was out. And you know I'm watching the front first thing anyway. So, and that secondary is real young. But I think if we can get some pressure up front, you can take a lot of pressure off those guys. And that linebacking group is pretty good also.
Yeah, once we get everybody healthy. Now, one last question, guys. Robert, start with you again. What advice would you give to a young man who was drafted this year?
Wow, that's a really broad question. You know, I think really everybody's kind of hit on this, that it's just so different. And I think people that watch professional football on TV maybe get a sense of it, and people that even people that are coming from teams that produce a lot of talent. Everybody's got that talent. Everybody, you know, was a top recruit coming out of high school. And these are people that performed at an elite level in college. They're just so much better in the NFL. So I guess the advice that I would give is just to work on every part of your craft and try and be as detail oriented as possible, because the difference between a decent player or a good player, a great player, and an all time player, you know, you start with that talent, but then there's that work ethic, that understanding of the game, and then that understanding of the finer nuances of your position, whatever that position may be. So just try and just get your head as far as you can into that playbook and listen to what your coach is telling you.
All right, Chad.
Yeah, I would say, like, just to jump on that, everybody's great. Everybody's good and has different levels of greatness in the NFL. And you see a guy with so much ability that comes in, more ability than you or more ability than the guy in front of him, but he can't hack it, he can't make it. I always just say, do the things you can control. You know, control your attitude and your effort on all things and be there, be present every day. I mean, you know, the NFL world's certainly different now than it was for me even 4 years ago, and it's ever-changing. But I think one thing will always be constant is work ethic, energy, enthusiasm. That stuff's never going away. So if you bring that all the time, plus you're talented, you're going to have a chance to have a great career.
All right, Chuck.
I just keep it simple. You come and do what you have to do. Hard work, commitment, I think that makes it happen for anybody with talent. And like you said, Chad, there's a lot of guys we see come in with all the physical talents in the world, but somehow they can't make it because they're not committed mentally or for their overall production. So that's what I think is simple. You know, commitment, hard work, I think you'll be all right.
All right, Kevin.
I would say be a sponge, man. Learn from your coaches, learn from your teammates, learn from the veterans, learn everything you can from everybody that's done it already. Don't come in thinking you know everything, because, I mean, this game has a lot to teach you. And if you can soak up all the information you can from all the people around you to make you that much better player. And you can perform at a high level on the field. I mean, Chad probably knows. I mean, all you guys, right? You wasn't the best at your position or maybe not been the fastest, strongest, but you were able to process the game and the game is played, you know, above the shoulder. So a lot of it now, these guys are freak athletes, but can they process information and go out there and do it at a high level and make split decisions and, you know, in that lick of time to make a play.
All right, guys, thank you very much for your time today. It's been Vikings Draft Memories. I love the advice. None of it has to do with physical ability. It all has to do with effort and the mental side of the game, and that's really what differentiates these guys. So thanks again for your time. Let's see how the Vikings do this, you know, do this draft and how well they do this year, and hopefully we can get you guys back together again soon before the season starts.
I think one of my favorite things about having to work remotely has been able to be connected with all of these legends and people in the Vikings organization at just the touch of a click of a button of a Zoom invite. I mean, like I said, just being able to talk to Chuck Foreman for a little bit before the show. My dad growing up out in New York literally said Chuck Foreman was one of his favorite players and the way he played the game. So that was really awesome for me. But, yeah, anything else you guys want to add, Eric, Jay?
I mean, it was a great conversation. Feel very fortunate to be able to sit in on that. But it's probably time for me to go do another mock draft.
Jay?
Yeah, the conversation whenever you get to pick those guys' brains. I've had one-on-one conversations with some of these guys about minimal chunks of this. But to have them all share their story and then it sparks something else from somebody else and they just kind of build off of each other and all have had a similar path, but at the same point it's unique for every single one of them. It's just a great thing to get to do. So it was really fortunate that we were able to record that and have this time and be able to share that with the fans.
Absolutely. Well, we are just 1 week away from the NFL draft when the Vikings are scheduled to have the 14th overall pick along with 9 other picks. Currently no second round pick. I think Eric in his trade machine will maybe make it come to fruition in real life. But until then, you need to check out all of the great content on the Vikings Entertainment Network platforms. Vikings.com's Lindsey Young has another edition of Getting Open this week, and it is none other than Hall of Fame defensive tackle John Randall, who talks about his work with the Legends community, the NFL Legends community. He's been doing work with them for years now, talks to players all around the league, whether it's current players, Legends, Hall of Famers. He knows exactly what's going on, and obviously it's tied in with the mental health awareness that Lindsey is helping bring to light through the lens of our Vikings players and Legends. So I think you want to listen to that and read that on Vikings.com. Also, we have a lot of good content coming up, live content coming up on the Vikings Entertainment Network platforms. We have the Vikings at Home show on Thursday night. That will be on all Vikings platforms at 6 p.m. streaming live. Vikings.com's Gabe Henderson leads that. So definitely tune in to that show on Thursday night. And also on KFAN on Thursday night, you can find myself and Gabe Henderson. We talk with our very special guest. It's assistant head coach and co-defensive coordinator Andre Patterson joining us for the Vikings Vantage that is presented by Pepsi. I mean, probably one of the best conversations I've ever had on that show. He tells a story about John Randall literally going into his locker and looking at the house that he grew up in every single day before practice to use it as motivation. So you will not want to miss what Andre Patterson has to say leading up to the draft on the Vikings Vantage. So that'll do it for us here at the Vikings Entertainment Network on this episode of the Minnesota Vikings podcast. For Eric Smith, for Jay Nelson, and of course, all of the Vikings legends that were on this show, we will see you next week.